Hey everybody, really quick before the episode starts, I talk a bunch in this episode about how I'm going to be shaving my mustache and how I'm really distraught about it. It's a big part of the episode. Long story short, I got a job this week that had requested that I shave my mustache, and so I was preparing emotionally to shave this mustache that I've had for the last almost 3 years now. It's been a long time that I've had this mustache and that I haven't shaved it. And I was getting ready to do that, and then the day before the gig, they reached out and they were like, we actually want you to come in with it, and we'll see whether or not we want you to shave it on the day at set. And we got there, and got me in the makeup that I was going to be wearing for this thing, and they decided they wanted me to keep the mustache. So at the time of releasing this, and at the time of recording this right now, talking to you right now, I still have it. I didn't shave. And it's a big part of this episode, but that's not all I'm talking about in this episode, so I'm still releasing the episode. And the other thing is, like, I still might shave it, because here's what happened is I kind of got myself all worked up into a lather about it, and I kind of worked up the gumption to do it, and now that it's, like, not happening, I kind of am like, oh, I was sort of excited about the fresh start and what that might do to sort of invigorate my content with something new. Like, it's been a minute. It's been a while since I've seen my face. So I still might shave. I already shot the first half of a video of, like, a shaving video. You know how people do those videos on TikTok where it's like it's two people talking to each other and they're playing both parts the way that I do on TikTok, but one of them has, like, a beard and the other one doesn't have a beard and they're talking about, I made one of those. I made my version of that, but I shot the mustache side of it already. So, you know, and then I released this whole episode. I recorded this whole podcast about how I'm like, I'm going to shave my mustache, and now I haven't shaven it. But anyway, you're about to listen to me talk about that. So I think I'm still going to do it, but just at the time that you're probably listening to this, I currently still do have the mustache. And it's not like a set thing that I'm going to shave it anytime soon. I'm mulling it over still. It's still a possibility, but I just wanted to let you know that that's where we're at. Still have the mustache, so keep that in mind as you listen to me talk extensively about it here in this episode. Okay, here we go. Dearly beloved members of the Blanket Fort Nation, by the time you hear this episode of the People Pleaser podcast, my mustache will be no more. Currently, I am in the last waning hours of my mustache's glorious existence. And, you know, it's interesting. I didn't think that I would be this emotional about this period in my life. I've worn a mustache on and off, you know, since my early 20s. I found out pretty early on that I can't grow a full beard. Never could. I had a goatee for a while. I've tried some other things. In my early 20s, I used to do this thing where I would have the little soul patch part, you know, the part under the bottom lip and the mustache. So I would sort of do, like, the Matthew Broderick in Glory look sometimes. I did that in a few, like, Shakespearean plays that I was in, and then I kept it in my real life because I thought it just was something different. Sometimes I would do the full goatee, and I wasn't ever really a big fan of that. It was just sort of convenient and lazy. And the mustache was always my favorite, but my facial hair grows at a glacial pace still. I'm going to be 34 in just a few days. And my facial hair still, it just grows so slowly. And it takes me several weeks to get my mustache to the point that it is now. Now, here's the thing. I wear the mustache on and off. Kind of, I would shave it when I would get bored or for roles and things like that throughout my 20s. And usually if I wasn't acting in something, usually I had it. Usually I had the mustache. And definitely more so over the last, like, 6 years. I'd say more often than not I had it. But usually it would last at any given time for, like, 3 to 4 months before I would shave it for something else. And then I would be unshaven, or I would be shaven, sorry. I'd be shaven for a few months, and then I would grow it back again. This current mustache I've had since before the pandemic. You remember, do you even remember before the pandemic? Do you even remember what life was like? Do you remember who's been here? Here's what I want to know. Who's been here since the start of the pandemic episodes? Do you remember the first pandemic episodes of People Pleaser with Austin Archer, where I would just get on the podcast and be like, hey, how's everybody doing? Have you been to the grocery store? Have you seen what it's like out there? Just empty, like, what's going on out there? And we all thought it was going to be just like a few weeks of hunkering down. That's the thing, you know. So the reason why this episode is going to be really short this week, the episode that I was planning on doing, I wind up doing next week. I was going to talk to my friend Emily Walton, who I just spoke to about Stephen Sondheim, but she just had COVID, as so many people are getting COVID right now. And I wanted to sort of talk about, like, where our current attitudes are on COVID and where how we're dealing with it and how we're treating people who get it and all that stuff. Because I think that, like, the age of sort of looking down your nose or judging someone who has COVID is long since passed, especially with this current wave that we just know is way more contagious than any wave that's come before. And we know that our vaccines and our boosters are not stopping the contagion or the spread, or all our vaccines are really doing at this point is keeping us out of the hospital, which is important. I wish people understood that. I wish they understood that, like, because I still keep seeing those comments. Oh, did you know that the vaccines don't actually stop you from getting it? It's like, yeah, but if it keeps you out of the hospital, that's the point. But I think that I wanted to do an episode, and I will talk more about this next week with Emily, but I wanted to do an episode about sort of like where we're at, where our minds are at, where our hearts are at, as we're now like 2 years into this thing, as we've just been living this way for 2 years. We thought at the beginning that it was going to be a big sacrifice and it was going to be hard, but we were going to hunker down for like 6 weeks, maybe 2 months as a people. And we were all going to agree to only go out when it was absolutely necessary. And a lot of us did it. A lot of us, we were getting together with family members on Zoom. We were having, you know, nightly family Zoom hangouts to see how everyone's mental health was holding up. We were making jigsaw puzzles. We were all watching Tiger King on Netflix and talking about it on the internet. You remember that? We were trying to do it. And we thought, you know, and obviously there were those among us who were like, absolutely not. There were those people who were never going to do it. And they were anti-lockdown, anti-maskers from the start. And they still are. But look, after a while, even the most stringent among us and the most nervous amongst us, had to just accept that our attempt to flatten the our attempt to flatten the curve didn't work out because we couldn't get enough people to participate in it. I mean, I think a lot of us gave it a good college try. I think there's other things too that we just don't account for, that, like, even though we closed down a lot of restaurants and bars and movie theaters and performance venues and things like that, like, there were so many people who just couldn't not go to work. Grocery store employees never didn't go to work. They had to keep going to work the entire time. And so many places that couldn't just go remote. And there's only so much we could control for in that attempt that we made to try to flatten the curve. And since then, it's just sort of been like, wear your mask, keep washing your hands, try to social distance, try to, you know, get vaccinated now that we have the vaccines, do these things. And at a certain point, there's only so much that you can do. Anyway, this is what we're going to talk about next week with Emily. But I was going to talk about that. But the reason I'm talking about that is I've had this mustache. God, that was a long way to get to this. I've had this mustache since before all that. My hair was short when this mustache first cropped up on my face. I was rocking this mustache for maybe like a year before the pandemic even happened. So I've been saying that this mustache is 2 years old. I think it's closer to 3 years old. The longest, probably uninterrupted span that I've had. Because usually what happens is I get an acting gig. Usually I get a, a play or something where I need to be clean shaven. And the last play I did, which this is also crazy, since I was like 10 years old, I've been in at least one play every year of my life until the last 2.5 years. The last play I was in was in March of 2019. So what is that? That's almost three. So not even 2.5, almost 3 years ago. 3 years ago. That's crazy, y'all. I'm used to doing several plays a year, doing a couple musicals and a couple plays every year. And that's how every year of my adult life was 3 to 4 to 5, sometimes 6 plays a year. And I haven't done anything in 3 years. And that play, the last play that I did, I had the mustache. And I kept the mustache after the play was done. And I rocked the mustache all the way through. So I think this current mustache is in the neighborhood of like almost 3 years long. It's been a minute. It's been almost my entire 30s since I've seen my shaven face. I feel weird about it. I definitely am worried that my current look with my long hair and everything won't work the way I want it to work without the mustache. I feel like I'm not sure that my face can support this longer hair look without the mustache. I kind of feel like it all needs to be clean, like clean haircut, clean face, you know, but long hair mustache seems to work. It's got that like 70s vibe to it, that sort of timeless energy. Long hair, no mustache. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what's going on with that combo. I'm nervous, everybody. I'm going to need your thoughts and prayers. By the time you're listening to this, I'm a clean-shaven dandy. And what happened is I got a role that wanted me to shave, and I told them, I said, listen, if we don't have to, please no. I would prefer to keep it. But you know what? I actually think this is good for me. I actually think I need to do this. I actually think that look, a big part of being an actor is discovering your type and discovering like what your castability is. I have not known that for a lot of my life as an actor. And I think that that's kind of common for character actors, which is what I am, is like we play so many different things over the course of our career that we're like, well, I don't know what people are seeing me as because I'm constantly something else in every, like very different. So I don't know what people are seeing me as. And it's just because I'm a character actor. Like I try to change my look and my appearance and my posture and my voice for the different roles that I do. But there's been something about this long hair and this mustache, y'all, that has like boosted my castability through the roof. All of a sudden, I'm just booking like crazy. And maybe I'm giving the mustache and the hair too much credit. But I do think that there's something about it that makes me not just another white guy. You know, in Hollywood, I look like a real person. I don't look like an actor. You know how actors look. You know how they all wear the same clothes and they all have the same haircut and they all have the same jawline and they all have, like, you know, like a V-neck t-shirt with like a bomber jacket on and tight jeans with boots and a really nice haircut and kind of like 5 o'clock shadow stubble and just buff as hell. Just pecs and abs and just super shredded. You know those guys? And that's not just leading men in Hollywood or in New York. That's like everyone. Like to get in the door, you got to be so hot, you know? And I think that me leaning into the fact that I'm not a classically hot guy. Listen, I'm hot. I'm sexy as shit. All right. I'm hot, but I'm not Chris Evans. I'm not Chris Hemsworth. I'm not a Chris. I'm not Marvel hot. I'm not Hollywood hot. I'm not Broadway hot. I'm Broadway, ugh. I'm Broadway and Hollywood, ugly. But like, I'm a weird guy. I'm a weird look. So if I try to have the actor haircut and the actor clothes, they're like, what are you trying to do, man? Who are you trying to kid? That's not you. This hair and this mustache, they're like, that's you. We can use that guy all day long because you're a goofball. And I am a goofball. And they can make me be a goofball and make me be silly. And I can be, you know, And I can do what I do. I can be funny. I can also do serious stuff like this, you know? Because I look like a real guy. And that's my castability, is being a real guy. So I'm a little bit nervous. But you know what? I'm probably just going to grow it right back. All of my promotional photos have the mustache. My headshots have the mustache. My online brand has become very synonymous with the mustache. I think I'm a little bit worried about that, that like I actually have a brand now. People are like aware of this look that I have, that they're like, that is how they associate me with me. And I think I need to be okay with letting that go and trying something new. So shit, I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll fuck around and get wild and cut my hair too and just be like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that yet. I think I'm going to shave the mustache and then like quickly grow it back as fast as I can. But for a few days, the world's going to get a look at something different. And just wish me luck, okay? Keep me in your thoughts and prayers. One little thing I wanted to talk about, just real quick. I think this episode's going to be real short because it's just sort of like a placeholder. But thanks for listening. Don't click away. I'm going to talk about something. You saw it on the title of the episode. It's just, and I don't want to be this guy because I feel like there's always this guy. And I feel like it's also part of just getting older. Like you get older and you start seeing the world change in some ways that are very exciting and in other ways that are kind of, that make you scared that we're losing something. We're losing something important. We're losing something that we shouldn't lose. And I think this guy, this person has always existed. And I generally scoff at this person because I just think, what are you doing? You're shouting at the wind. You know, you're howling at a storm. Like you can't do, you're screaming at a hurricane. Like you can't stop it. You can't stop the world from becoming what it's becoming. It just, it becomes what it becomes. It moves independent of your will. So stop. So I usually think that people who say stuff like this are like, you know, need to just embrace change and newness. And in general, I try to be a person who embraces change and newness and tries to live in the now. But as an entertainer and as a storyteller, there are evolutions in what is happening to storytelling that I'm excited about. I do like the accessibility that we see, the accessibility that the internet gives us, that new media gives us, that just anyone from anywhere who doesn't have a dad or an uncle or a grandma or a stepmom who's in the biz, you know, usually the barrier to entry for people in the entertainment industry is like, who do you know? You know, yeah, sure, Ben Platt's talented, but his dad is Mark Platt. Did you know that? Did you know that Ben Platt's dad is Mark Platt? Do you know who Mark Platt is? No, you don't, but he's a big producer. He produced Wicked. Wicked? Yeah, he's a big producer. It's like Lucas Hedges. His dad is a big producer, you know? Everyone's mom or dad or grandma or uncle or aunt is somebody when you dig deep enough. And what the internet has done and what new media has done is it's made it so that anybody from anywhere can find an audience and can do their thing and they can make a living at it and they can do well. And it's very democratizing and it's cool and it's exciting. And it's it opens up doors that were previously didn't exist. They weren't just closed doors. They were doors that didn't exist. And now they're like opening up like the Keymaker in the Matrix. They're just opening up in walls. Cupboards are turning into these doors that people are coming in through hallways that no one knew were there before. And that's all cool. So yeah, I don't want to be a doom and gloomer about change. I'm excited about change. But one thing that is changing, and it's sort of almost a change that we've sort of been forced into by circumstance. I don't think it's a change that anyone actually wants. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm not wrong, but I feel like it's something that we all are like, no, I don't want it. I don't want that. It's just like, and maybe it is just the pandemic. But again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier about like, how long do we continue to live severely altered lives, hoping that severely altering our lives will somehow stop this thing that has not stopped, that just keeps, like, when do we just go, okay, it's time to just go back to doing life and continuing to be careful and trying to minimize risk, but like okay, let me get to what I'm saying. I don't like what's happening with movies and the industry and with live theater too and just live events in general. I don't like that the prevalence of these things is that, like, in order to do a live event, it has to be a very special live event. It has to be a big thing that, like, is too big to fail, but smaller things continue to stay closed or have a hard time finding an audience because people have a hard time justifying the risk of going out to see a smaller thing. And this is smaller pieces of theater. This is smaller live shows for musicians. And this is smaller movies. Smaller movies are just like, they're like, well, no one's going to want to risk going to the theater, risking COVID for this small movie. Studios don't even want to spend the money on doing a theatrical release for them. And the prevalence of streaming platforms, you know, streaming is taking over the entertainment industry. The biggest movie producers in the world right now are all becoming streaming platforms, Apple Plus and Netflix and Hulu and that they just figure if there's a small drama that we want to produce for $5 to $10 million, we'll just put it out on the streaming platform. And like, no, man, no. Cause the just, and this is where I'm like, I'm being that guy. I'm like not embracing the wave of the future. And I'm not just embracing that streaming is where it is and that there is a certain kind of accessibility that streaming offers too, where like not everyone can get out to the theater all the time. And streaming gives them an opportunity to watch the movie at the same time as people are, you know, I get it, but there are so few things that we do when it comes to consuming stories. There's so much of the way that we consume stories is on an individual basis. People listen to podcasts mostly by themselves or with one other person on a road trip. It's very rare that you listen to a podcast with anyone else. People consume online content generally by themselves. People read books by themselves. People listen to music by themselves. We consume so much of it by ourselves. We even watch TV by ourselves a lot of the time or with one other person. Theater, live theater, and the movies, and live music, live events, but are the things that we go to with other people. And really, the things that everyone goes to are the movies. Like that's the thing that like everyone can have that shared theatrical experience. And I don't want it to just be that just a couple times a year we all go watch the new Marvel movie and that's it. And everything else is same day streaming on HBO Max, and we'll just watch it at home. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to, I want to watch every movie that comes out in the theater if I can. And I know that a lot of this is circumstantial. I know that it's the pandemic and that we're just waiting for when we can just go back to movies unencumbered completely. But like, are we? Are we going to do it? Are we going to go back? Or are we going to just be like, this is what it is? It makes more financial sense for the studios and for the people producing it to just release it on streaming. It doesn't make financial sense to do a theatrical run, so why would we? But I, oh man, because it's on us too. We're not showing up. We're not showing up to support these smaller movies and to justify a theatrical release. I think about some of my favorite movies that I've seen over the last 10, 15, 20 years, and they're all small movies. And the experience that I had in the theater, watching the movie Boyhood, you know, for the first time in the theater. And I didn't know what kind of experience I was going to have. I just wanted to experience the movie. And I did. I just let it wash over me. It's such a small little movie that Richard Linklater shot a few weeks at a time every year for 12 years with a small crew and a small budget. But being there in a theater with a giant screen and watching this kid go from 6 years old to 18 years old, watching him have his first kiss and fall in love and experiment with drinking and learning about death by finding a dead bird behind his house and all of it, go through his life and sitting in a theater and letting that life wash over me and then getting to the end and watching him look out at the new landscape of his adult life and like the possibility of what he's going to do next. And I was just overcome with emotion and I was crying and I was with my friends and they were crying and we sat and the credits rolled and we cried and it was so special. You know, I saw Call Me By Your Name 3 times in theaters, that little indie drama. I saw it 3 times in theaters. And I know that Armie Hammer is a cannibal, and I know that Hollywood needs to stop casting straight guys in queer roles, but I just found that movie to be enormously affecting And I just, I all three times, I just sobbed my eyes out when Michael Showalter is giving that speech to his son at the end of the movie, and talking to him about the phenomenon of young love and how precious it is and fleeting and special. Ugh. And I need it in the theater. Because you know what happens? My brain, my ADHD brain, and that's a fun thing about social media. We're all finding out we have ADHD. I want to turn everything off and just give myself to the movie. This is what happens. Is last night I tried to watch Power of the Dog by Jane Campion. I didn't try to watch it. I watched it. I watched it start to finish. But the problem is I had my phone. I kept checking my phone. I was playing games while I was watching it. I was half in, you know.
Something went wrong. Try again in a few seconds.
Oh my God. Did you all hear that? That scared the shit out of me. Why does she do that? I'm sitting in my parents' house and I'm recording, and I guess I said something that triggered the voice command on their TV, and all of a sudden this robot voice goes, something went wrong. Try again in a few minutes. And I'm alone in this house, and the first thing I think when I hear, is that there is a ghost right behind me. That's the thing is, I don't believe in ghosts, but I my brain instantly believes in ghosts so easily. In my day-to-day life, I go through my day-to-day life not believing in ghosts. And then if I hear a noise like that, the first thing I think is, oh, there, ghosts are real and there's a ghost right behind me and I'm about to die. She's behind me going, that doesn't sound right. And I'm like, oh, I don't know why she's announcing herself like this, but she's a ghost. And I don't even consider the possibility that it's not a ghost. I instantly believe it's a ghost. The other day I was watching a YouTube video where someone knocked on the wall really loud, and I had my headphones on and it sounded like someone was knocking on the wall behind me, and I was in my parents' basement where there is no other, like the other side of the wall is dirt and concrete, and I thought someone was knocking on that wall, and yeah, instantly was like, it's a ghost. Didn't even entertain the possibility that it wasn't. I knew right away, oh my God, there's a ghost knocking on this wall trying to get my attention. And I took my headphones off and the knocking stopped, and I put my headphones back on and the knocking continued. And I realized, oh, okay, it was on the video. Anyway, that was a departure from what I was saying because a fucking AI voice just yelled at me and made me think that there was a ghost there. But do you know what I'm saying? I just don't want to lose the theatrical experience. I don't want to lose it. So please go see movies in the theater and go see small movies. I watched this Jane Campion movie, and it is a contemplative, slow, methodical movie. It is a dry, long shots of rolling hills and landscapes and people speaking in hushed tones movie that you need to pay attention to. And what I really needed to get lost in that world that Jane Campion made is I needed to be in the movie theater with my phone turned off, and I needed to have a 30-foot screen that I was looking at. That's what I needed. I needed that immersion. I needed the awareness of the other people who I'm trying to be in this experience with them communally. When it's just me, I'm no good at holding myself accountable and being like, okay, Austin, phone off. Let's really lose ourselves in the big screen TV over here while I'm on the couch at my parents' house. I can't do it. You know? Home is for passive television watching, you know? And watching movies that you've already seen a million times before. But watching a really world-class film for the first time at home, no. It's like when Hamilton came out on Disney Plus and everyone was like, oh, cool, we get to see Hamilton. And then everyone watched it and everyone had the same experience where they were like, that was cool, but obviously it's not the same as being there. And everyone knew right away, like, oh, I just wish I was there. I wish I was at the theater watching that. It's not the same. Just doesn't have the same effect. It's actually kind of boring if you watch it at home. Like, you just need to be there. You got to be in the room. In the room where it happened, some might say. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the solution to that is, because I know it is circumstantial and I know it's also financial, and maybe I just need to just accept it. But that's one of those things that I don't want to accept. I don't want to accept that we're going to get fewer and fewer theatrical releases of quality films, and that they're all going to be on streaming, and like that we're, you know, and that the only films that people are going to go out and see in the theater are going to be big budget blockbusters. And not that, I mean, big budget blockbusters are really fun to go see in the theaters, you know, but I want to keep seeing movies in the theaters. Avatar was on TV the other day and I watched it. Hot take, people like to shit on Avatar, you know, retroactively, be like, oh, what a ridiculous, I can't believe that movie was nominated for so many Academy Awards, it's such a joke. And look, the biggest knock against Avatar is Sam Worthington's terrible accent, terrible American accent, and the unoriginal screenplay. Like, the narrative is borrowed and unoriginal and you know. But, like, I'm totally fine to see a story about the perils of, you know, capitalism and extractionism anytime, any old time. And put in that pretty of a package, sign me up. I watched it and I was like, God, this movie is a fucking entertaining ride. I really enjoyed it. I sat there and I just watched that whole thing, and it had been years since I saw it. And I was like, if when you actually know what goes into making a movie, when you actually know the technical process of putting a movie together, and you watch that movie and you see that James Cameron crafted the shit out of that thing, that every single shot is carefully crafted, like that it is cared for and considered, and the sound design, they don't miss a single thing. They don't miss a single like noise in the shot. You can hear everything and see. It is a fantastic achievement. And then the fact that like the story is good at all is like great. The fact that the story is emotionally affecting, like there's a great scene where like even the build, the fact that he takes his time with the build of the love story between Neytiri and Jake Sully, and the fact that like Jake Sully is like this total unlikable douchebag, and his character development is done pretty well. The movie takes its time to watch, so you can watch him carefully grow and change. And then there's this scene where he first gets his like thing that he rides on, his like, I can't remember what they call him, but the like Igran or something that he rides on. And he and Neytiri are riding around, and she looks at him and she gives him this smile. And I'm like, it's that stuff. It's that cinematic stuff. It's that visual storytelling shit. It's that stuff that makes the movie fun and engaging and emotionally, it gets you wrapped up in it. And then you care about Jake and Neytiri's love. And then you see Jake's heart change, and you see him feel so heartbroken that he betrayed these people, these beautiful people. And, you know, so yeah, the screenplay's not very inventive, but the movie is well crafted. And James Cameron, the guy, say what you will about the guy, he knows how to put together an entertaining ride, my people, my blanket fort folks. Anyway, that's another movie I saw several times in theaters because I knew that the theatrical experience wasn't going to be the same at home. I was just like, well, this movie is designed to be seen in a movie theater. Another movie I saw a bunch of times in theaters was Gravity by Alfonso Cuarón with Sandra Bullock, because that was another one where I was like, this is like the theater, it's made for the theater, the expanse of the black of space, you know, the black of the sky of space, and then matching that with the dark, with the black of like the walls of the theater. And it's almost like the space was expanding off of the screen and you felt like you were in outer space with these characters, with the long shots, with the one takes, you know. And so yeah, big budget movies are really, really fun to see in theaters, but also to really get into a quiet contemplative movie like The Power of the Dog, I need all of my distractions shut off. I need to be able to be in that movie for those few hours. You know what I mean? And I don't want to lose that. And maybe I'm just old scared guy who's afraid of progress, but okay, that's it. That's all I'm talking about this week. RIP my mustache. Big time. RIP my mustache. If you see me out there on the internet and you see me, you know, going through a hard time without the mustache, send me some good vibes and some love. Okay, we'll see you next week for a full episode, for a real one, for the real thing. People Pleaser, you know, it's written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or by going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. A bunch of people recently bought some of my music on Bandcamp, and that was dope. Check that out. Patreon.com/austinarcher is another way you can support the show. Shout out to the Patreon patrons. We love you. And the show is mixed and mastered, as is my music, by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. We love Chris. It was just his birthday, and he's the best. Go to themarmalademusic.com if you want to work with him and have him mix and master your thing that you want to do. You know, you got that thing that you've been thinking about doing. Go do it and have Chris mix and master it. Tell him I sent you. He'll give you 20% off of your first project. I think that's everything. That's everything for this week, okay? Just a little one. Just a little cute episode. Just a cheeky little episode with just some fun ideas. You know, be nice out there. Have a good time. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to each other. And we'll see you next week, okay? Alrighty. Okay, bye-bye.